Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
For more than 4 years, they were the toast of the town. Global superstar Jennifer Lopez and former baseball slugger Alex Rodriguez quickly became one of Hollywood's hottest power couples.
I found a video, an old video of you, an interview that you gave. This is from 1998, I believe. Here's Alex Rodriguez.
What would a dream date with Alex Rodriguez be?
Jennifer Lopez. Hopefully you can find me a date with her.
That means that dreams actually do come true in America.
Yeah. When Alex came into my life, it was like, oh, I found a partner who could really hang with me, and he also wants to grow and evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of pushing each other into our own second acts.
Yeah. Both from New York.
Yeah.
We both come from Latino backgrounds.
Yeah.
We both have two kids.
Yeah.
And I think we've both been through a lot and can really appreciate each other, both the good and the challenges.
Hey, who was this lady that came in the broadcast booth a moment ago, Alex?
Oh, he's shy.
Hey.
Okay, he's all shy.
Is Jennifer Lopez a baseball fan, or is she just here supporting you?
You know, Matt, she's an enormous sports fan.
Fans celebrated when the dynamic duo announced their engagement on Instagram. A-Rod popping the question with a huge diamond during a Bahamas vacation.
One of these people is beautiful and talented, and the other one is a mascot.
Get Wally away from Jennifer.
She's taken. Did you see the ring?
Jennifer Lopez is finally addressing those allegations that her now fiancé Alex Rodriguez has been cheating on her. It was Jose Canseco who went on Twitter right after they got engaged last month saying that he knows that Alex has been messing with Jose's own ex-wife, Jessica.
It doesn't matter. I know what the truth is. We're just happy. We're not going to let, like, other people come out and tell us what our relationship is.
After months of rumors about their relationship, Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez are making it official this morning. They have called off their engagement and are going their separate ways.
And that's that.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Jim. Here we go. Here we go, Jim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And a single tear dripped down the face of Chris Tannehill. We still get A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball, even though his relationship is over. Did you see, by the way, that Instagram post with their memories and their pictures and Coldplay in the background?
Oh, that's amazing irony that it was Coldplay, because I was thinking about being consciously uncoupled, much like Chris Martin and what's her name?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Thank you. Did when they split? So Chris Martin, he's the singer in Coldplay, Danny. But they, you know, they split and called themselves consciously uncoupled. So there's A-Rod and J-Lo doing that with Coldplay in the background. The irony.
The irony. The irony. But hey, he broke up with J-Lo, or she broke up with him. He did not break up with Sunday Night Baseball, unfortunately.
Damn it.
I know. Thankfully, the Cubs might not be good enough to be on Sunday Night Baseball too many more times.
Might?
This year.
You're the Cubs. You got them right where you want them.
Oh, God.
They are a tough, tough, tough watch. But within this broadcast last night, Speaks, there was a conversation about when the end might come. And we've been talking about 2021 as the end of the core, right? But I wanted to present this timeline to you because we know it's has not been a good start to the season. It's a tough watch. Had a lot of thoughts earlier on Javi Baez. We can circle back around if we need to. But in terms of the big picture stuff, here was the timeline that was outlined for the Cubs this year as it relates to what the hell's going on with the team on Sunday Night Baseball.
This is such an important year for the Cubs.
Well, it is, and there may be 10,000 fans in the crowd. There'll be over 100 scouts in the crowd looking at their talent because they have some really good pieces that can help other teams as well.
I mean, I cannot imagine this vintage of Cub without that guy in it, Anthony Rizzo. And I think a lot of people feel the same about Baez. But they already kind of started breaking up the band when Kyle Schwarber left. I mean, look at this. There's a lot of star power there between Rizzo, Baez, Bryant, and then the newer players, new slash old, with a guy like Arrieta, who has an option.
And you can make a very compelling argument either to break this team up or to build it up and keep going, right? Is this the end of an era of the 2016 championship and a run of postseason? Or are you in the right division to move forward and say, hey, we still have enough talent and we're in the right division. Let's give it one more go.
Yeah, Matt, and I think, Alex, is that that decision will be made sometime in mid-June. Like, if the Cubs are kind of playing well, then I think they'll go for it. If they're sluggish, I think this team is going to get blown up in mid-season.
Buster, who's the one guy you think they keep if they have to keep one? They have a lot of great options across the board.
I think it's most likely that they would find a way to get middle ground with Anthony Rizzo. His negotiations remind me a little bit where the Braves are with Freddie Freeman, where I think there's a desire in the organization to keep him. They weren't close in their talks this spring, but you wonder if market forces will push them together. Javier Baez, before the 2020 season, turned down, this is pre-COVID, turned down an offer somewhere in the range of $180 million. Hard to imagine they'll be able to find a middle ground on that deal. Chris Bryant, represented by Scott Boras, his clients almost always go into free agency.
You know, regarding Rizzo, though, Buster, there's a feeling that his deal, his long-term deal, was club-friendly. So what does that do to the mindset of the player and his representation when they're coming for another? Now you got to pay me, right?
It was such a good question, neither one of us can answer it.
No, Matt, I totally agree. I was waiting for Mr. Mills for him to deliver the ball. Yeah, there's no question about it, and that's why I think they're so far apart. But I think that the organization views him as a legacy player. I think all things being equal, Anthony Rizzo very open-minded about coming back, but I think they have to wait and see what free agency looks like at the outset for him to actually wind up having a deal to come back. I do think that Rizzo eventually will hit the open market and become a free agent. But as we've seen in recent years, a lot of times first basemen are not getting paid very well. Eric Hosmer did with the Padres. Paul Goldschmidt had a nice deal. But that's not the way it's always been.
Wow.
So the thing that jumps out, and there's many things in there, Speaks, but the decision will come in mid-June. Now, that does not mean that the trades will necessarily happen in mid-June, but if the deadline is July 31st and you've got to make a decision ahead of that and you want to be actively shopping within the market and give yourself time to drive up interest and generate the best trade, that's your timeline here. Because, right, we're in mid-April, mm-hmm. May-June, 2 months, 50 games or so. They got 50 games to figure out whether or not they're going to try to make one more run with it with this team. And I'll tell you this, I haven't seen anything from this particular team that makes me think they're going to.
Not enough so far. How about the division in terms of it coming back to you with the Reds at the top and the Cardinals being who they are?
Well, then you better beat the teams in your division.
Yeah, it's grim, man. Yeah, there's a few things. Mid-June is interesting in terms of Buster's timeline. Obviously, the nugget about the $180 million Baez offer that was turned down made the rounds, and John Heyman came back with some clarifications, probably based on Javi's side of the situation. Also, Buster's thought, if we know that Buster's getting stuff possibly from the Cubs front office, right? Buster's thought that Rizzo will hit the open market is a bit staggering in there. And he kind of referenced that a couple of times, that the Cubs want Anthony to see what the market is because they don't think the market is going to be what Anthony thinks it is. So despite all the strong, impassioned conversation from Jed that you and I heard and reacted to a couple weeks ago, there's Buster thinking they will let him get all the way to free agency. And then maybe he gets a taste of the market and comes back and still ends up a Cub at that point. But that is risky.
Yeah, and again, a guy that's a baseball player, not a guy that's just going up there trying to hit a ball 7,000 miles or launch angle or any of this nonsense. I mean, he is an old-school baseball player. He's a platinum gold winner. He is a Navy SEAL-type character.
What?
He just opens his mouth and says words.
He's a Navy SEAL-type character.
Doesn't make any sense.
None. That's tremendous.
Tanny, how disappointed were you that you missed the beginning of that game last night?
Oh, man, I was just heartbroken that I got to go to bed at a decent hour last night. 10 o'clock, I was in bed watching the new HBO show. But yeah,
which
it was,
one?
The Mayor of Easttown?
That's right, Speaks.
Any
you're
good?
Right. I enjoyed
good?
It. Yeah, it was very, you know, it was a typical HBO murder mystery downer of a program, but I'm here for that. I'm here for the ride. So it's only one episode deep, so I recommend those folks out there who like that kind of thing to watch it. The Mayor of Easttown.
All right.
With, I don't remember her name.
Kate Winslet.
Thank you.
I'll add it to the list. But yeah, that's why I still think that Rizzo's a Cub. I think that Rizzo will test the market. Rizzo will be disappointed by the market. And whatever the market is, the Cubs will just match it or beat it.
Yeah.
Like they're just, we're not going to set it for you. You're asking for more than we're willing to pay you. We're sorry. Not really, but we'll say that we're sorry that you feel like you were underpaid on your last contract, but you signed it, and it wasn't as bad as the, 7 for 41. Like, there were team options that made it worth nearly $70 million, or play, right? So, like, the options exercised out. Like, Anthony Rizzo's rich. Not as rich as his production would do. He's definitely outperformed that contract, no question. But the Cubs will hit whatever the highest offer is for Anthony Rizzo, and sure, maybe Rizzo – so say – I don't know. Say the Marlins give him 5 for 75.
Cubs will match that.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe if they match, Rizzo would leave for spite.
Yeah, 5 for 70 is what we heard. That was the one data point that Jed pointed out was an incomplete picture, 5 for 70, whereas Anthony probably wants, you know, a hundo. Goldschmidt got well over that. Obviously, Hosmer got well over that. Freddie Freeman's in a different stratosphere. He just won the MVP. Did Freddie Freeman? He's awfully good. Fun. The best moment of the game last night was Frederick. Frederick was Anthony Rizzo in the rundown calling Freddie Frederick. Was freaking hilarious. And that was fun. But yeah,
Frederick. Freddie. Mic them all up, man.
It's fun to have that kind of fun and lose 13-3, isn't it?
Well,
it's fun for them.
Fun. Yeah.
It's Frederick, come back here. Give me some runs.
Frederick! Freddy!
Because as soon as he saw me, I'm like, Frederick! I just started dying.
You know what he reminded me of when he was running? Navy SEAL.
Yeah,
it's a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, and again, a guy that's a baseball player, not a guy that's just going up there trying to hit a ball 7,000 miles or launch angle or any of this nonsense. I mean, he is an old-school baseball player. He's a platinum gold winner. He is a Navy SEAL-type character.
A platinum gold winner who's a Navy SEAL-type character.
Yeah,
the
man.
SEALs, by the way, hate launch angle. Don't get a Navy SEAL started on launch angle.
Yeah, right.
Always have.
And Navy SEALs, I think, are that is a premium position, whereas first base is not.
That's
defensively
true.
I think Navy SEAL is a far more premium position. See, Shane, you besmirch the fun of Frederick, but understand there's so very little that's fun surrounding the Cubs.
True.
Oh my God, it is the least fun contextually of any baseball season in a while, certainly for the Cubs. I mean, like, it is. I didn't think it was possible for it to head towards like super duper ugly Cubs seasons of yore territory. Do you think it's possible that it gets there, like to 2004, where like the bunch becomes unlikable? I mean, you drove a segment on the general unlikability salute of Javier Baez today, which got roundly agreed upon by texters and tweeters alike. And just the whole thing has had, it's just got this, the salary retreat of the offseason, the potential direction at the deadline, the sameness of the offensive issues. Like, the whole thing just kind of feels really ugly.
Yeah, right, so, but Baez is specific to me in this, because while, you know, I was furious at the Darvish trade, I didn't like the Schwarber decision, I still find Rizzo likable. I still find Bryant likable. I still like the Cubs, and I still believe that we are 2 years away. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think we're very far away from the Cubs being right back in the pool of a top five or six payroll team in baseball.
It depends what direction they go. I mean, if they start trading pieces off and they just like, well, we might as well do this one and do that one and do this one. I don't know.
Oh,
it depends
but I,
how smart
I think,
they are.
I think that there will be guys that they will sign that would be younger that they would try to like put into that window. You know, like I do not believe, call me naive or drinking the Kool-Aid, whatever. I don't think that you buy a team, spend billions on the team, invest in everything for the team to then go cheap on payroll in perpetuity because you got one World Series. Like whoever the next Jason Hayward, Yu Darvish, John Lester, those types of guys, I believe the Cubs will be contenders for those types of free agents.
Once the bones of the team is good enough, as Jed said.
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay.
But yeah, the Baez thing in particular is unlikable to me because I know he's capable of more, and 27 strikeouts against one walk is just an unacceptable approach at the plate. And it feels like a guy who's out to get his numbers as opposed to doing what's best for the team.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to Joe Maddon about what ended up being the key for him, because he was able to find a way to get Javi focused and locked in from at bat to at bat, and to think situationally and kind of broaden the scope of what he was doing, whether he found, you know, and Javi really trusted Joe and felt believed in. And this is, I don't feel like, you know, this is why hitting coaches get fired so much, is because you're trying to find ones that speak to the important guys, that really get across messages to the important guys in the nuanced way that you must, and in the relationship trust way that you must. And it doesn't feel right now that David Ross or Anthony Iaposi are getting into Javi's head and having him be the guy that he needs to be. I mean, I don't know the intricacies of their relationship. I just do know that Joe and Javi had a thing, and the best years for Javi have been under Joe, and it looks bad in 2020, looks horrific, comes back in 2021 and still looks bad.
Yeah, it wasn't the fans or the video.
Check him out 2 years from now when he stops swinging at that slider in the third, in the dirt. I keep saying to John Janney on Deck Circle, when he stops swinging at that pitch, he's Manny.
He's Manny Ramirez. That's what Joe believed and kept putting in Javi's head. You stop swinging at that, you're Manny Ramirez, you know?
And now all he does is swing at it. And that's why it's the only thing you should throw him. Why would you throw Javi Baez a strike? Texters, what is Park and smoking? Cubs contender 2 to 3 years with who? They need an entire new rotation. Park, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. You're naive. I'm not saying they're contending in 2 to 3 years. I'm saying post-pandemic, when they have, like Spieg said, the core of the team, whatever it is, through the acquisitions that they make by trading these guys away,
they'll spend again.
They are going to, like, the I do not believe that the times of the Cubs being a top five payroll team in baseball were just to get that one World Series, and now they're going to be penny pinching in perpetuity. I don't believe that. I think they will spend again. So I'm not as down in the organizational big picture as some people on the internet and the text line are, personally. I think they'll spend again.
The season has been very tough. Do you realize that they've had rubber games in four straight series, Danny, and have lost? Where it's like 1-1 in the series, and then the rubber game comes, and three of them were by huge margins. That 7-1 game in Pittsburgh on a Sunday to lose that series. 7-0 in Milwaukee on my anniversary to lose that series. 13-4 last night against the Braves to lose that series. And there's a day off after the Brewers debacle and a day off today to let that sit and let yourself as a player, as a fan, stew in that grossness of them just completely crapping the bed to lose a series four times in a row. Just, it's just brutal. Like, everything lends itself to making it feel even worse than it is.
I have something, though, for you that's related to the Cubs that is objectively fun. You will feel better, maybe not about the baseball product, but about the product associated with the Cubs when you hear this very fun audio coming up next on The Score.
Wasn't there something about getting a newspaper or something? A character in Goodfellas? Got to get a paper. That's all I got.
How about a punch out?
I like your idea better.
The limited impressions of Pat Hughes, the man that, in a roundabout way, Matt Spiegel is filling in for.
Pat Hughes!
On Sunday, when Spiegs does the fifth inning, when Zach Zaidman does every other inning, Matt Spiegel will be filling in for Pat Hughes on one of Pat's five games this year doing TV on the Marquee Sports Network. But as I mentioned to you earlier today, I spent a lot of time in the car this weekend, a lot of time packing away from the TV. So I consumed the vast majority of my baseball this weekend by way of the radio.
Which is a lovely way to enjoy baseball, isn't it?
You know, it really is. And I'm not just saying that because I work at a radio station that happens to be the radio home of the Cubs. Though that is part of the reason I'm saying it, if I could be honest with you. But it is a great radio sport. It's casual, really, it's comfortable. Yes. It's just not a lot of like crazy overwhelming background noise. It doesn't feel frenetic. You're able to be conversational. Mm-hmm. It's a great radio sport.
And for people who find the game itself a little slow or a little boring, on radio, you're doing something else. You're looking at something else, or you are actively like you driving or packing. Like it as an accompaniment and a companion, it is perfect in that way.
Yeah. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I also enjoyed, we have Pat Hughes saying a lot of funny things, because he's a funny guy, and, you know, he reviewed that film, the Ted Williams documentary.
It's a great film.
There you go.
Anyway, it's a great film. It really is.
Yeah.
And it just, as I was listening, this felt like the perfect accompaniment to that. That was Pat Hughes on film. This is Pat Hughes on Goldfinger and Sean Connery, the actor.
Well, I was flipping through the channels the other night and came across Goldfinger with the late, great Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And I just, I watched it for a few minutes and I thought it was... First of all, he was a great actor, Sean Connery, mm-hmm. and one of my favorites. He just had a very distinctive way of speaking also. I think a year ago we somehow got onto a topic, and I had seen him in some show, and he was talking about the farmer describing, you know, the straps that hold the overalls in place, and he called them suspenders. One ball and two strikes on Swanson.
What was that?
Suspenders.
Yeah.
And okay. I started thinking, there are some other words I would have loved to have heard Sean Connery say.
Well, he was a good Scotsman.
Well, like when you travel, Ron, and you rack up a bunch of bills and then you submit them for reimbursement, those are called expenses.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
Two balls and two strikes.
Is the best.
Yes. Swanson, eighth inning. Cubs lead 13-4.
So just to recap, you were watching Goldfinger
mm-hmm.
with the debonair Sean Connery as James Bond.
He was a great James Bond.
Yeah.
And I was thinking there are some other words I would have loved to have heard him say, and one came to mind. It would be the foods that you eat that are really good for your system. Roughage. No balls in one strike.
At what point during the movie did this come up?
During the restaurant scene. He was paying the bill, also known as expenses. Here's the 0-1 pitch by Workman. A swing and a miss by Adrianza in the count 0-2.
And now at the house, did you watch this movie by yourself?
Pretty much.
After the first 10 minutes, I guess.
But if any of our listeners have other words that they would like to hear or would have liked to have heard Sean Connery say, we'd love to hear from you. Here's a ground ball to Bryant at first. Unassisted play. Kicks the cushion. That's out number two.
We have a Pat and Ron Twitter account. We could, people could send us what they think. My partner would be more than happy to give those words a shot.
He does these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
Suspenders.
When he said... I want to do more words as this. And like the bit wasn't over. I was driving.
That's our opening right there, isn't it?
I was smiling ear to ear. I was, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like it had everything. It had some faint Zackles in the background. Though I got to say, Zademan not laughing as hard as he normally would be in that situation. I was looking for more background laughter. It had classic Coom. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on here. Mm-hmm, but
Coom knows what's going on. He is just supportive. He is just so completely a helpful, supportive partner. It is beautiful to hear.
I don't mean... doesn't know what's going on in terms of like clueless. I mean, I don't know where Pat's going with
this. Right. And right. That's true. And my point is that he doesn't care. He's thoroughly supporting Pat going wherever he happens to be going.
Sure. And Pat is such a made man. That is not a great Sean Connery impression. And
wow.
It doesn't matter.
That just happened. You just said that.
Dude,
wow.
I mean, you've heard better Sean Connery impressions.
I'd like Jap anus relations for 500.
That's not one of them.
Oh, Sean Connery's here. I thought he was dead.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Shade, you're
expensive.
You're a great EP. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just
come on, Trebek.
I've heard better. And he just keeps going. And so I had an idea. Want to pull the room. I think Pat would be amenable to this, but I really have no idea. He said yes to some of my dumb ideas before, and he said no to some of my dumb ideas before. We play clips from Sean Connery movies, and then we give Pat the script.
Ooh.
And just sentences, little paragraphs. That's the Chicago way.
Yeah, right, of course.
You know, and we get Pat Hughes v. Sean Connery.
Oh, boy.
I don't know
if we need to hear the original. I think hearing the original might damage our appreciation of the impression.
I think we play the Pat Hughes ones first, and then we play Connery, and we see how close he got to Sir Connery.
I don't even think you need to have the Connery clips. I thought about this a lot here. That's what I do. I just want to hear Pat, just as Pat, read Sean Connery dialogue.
Yeah,
he pulls a knife, you pull a gun, Ron.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Send one of yours to the hospital. Send one of his to the morgue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bolt the door if you're coming in. It's so perfect.
Texter with a great idea. Then we get Sean Connery to call a Javier Baez double, which would be great.
That'd be impressive. Again.
Just need one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the problem is
what's more
it's
likely?
Harder to get Javier Baez
excuse
to
me.
Hit a double
Javier
than book
Baez
Sean Connery.
That
guy sucks.
What's the more difficult ask in that equation? Baez
can we
double?
Get a poll question? What's more unlikely? Sean Connery calling a Javi Baez double or Javi Baez hitting a double? It's terrible. But do you think Pat would do it? Because I say yes. I say Pat Hughes would read Sean Connery lines for this show.
Well, I think we've got a real good start on the possibilities of that because he seems to really enjoy doing Sean Connery. So we're just kind of we're playing in. Suspenders.
Expenses. Suspenders.
The roughage. I don't really get roughage.
Forget it. He's rolling.
He's workshopping a bit here in front of a large audience. Like, right. I admire the gall to do it.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Who cares? Sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, no, he's examining phonetics of the English language and figuring out which ones are going to work. I get it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's such a made man that, like, if that happened on this show and I took the swing and I said suspenders, there's no way I get to roughage. Like, there's just.
It would be suspenders week on the score. Like, it would be the open every day, yeah. just repurposed, just making fun of you. At all costs.
Right. There's just no way I get to expenses or run. There's no chance. But he just got the supportive partner. He's the future Hall of Famer. It's his booth. It's a blowout game. The Cubs are winning. Like, it was the stars just all aligned yeah. for Pat Hughes to go down this path over multiple innings of words he could say as Sean Connery.
I don't think that happens in a blowout loss. I don't think it does. I think it requires a little ability to exhale and breathe easy at that point and enjoy yourself in a 13-4 win as opposed to a 13-4 loss.
Suspenders.
Suspenders. So great.
Oh, man. Texture says that the Pat Hughes-Sean Connery bit that we're suggesting would be the equivalent of when Boers and Bernstein had black guys impersonate Hawk Harrelson. I don't remember that bit. Tanny, were you on the board? Was it as disastrous?
It was before my time, but I'm familiar with the bit, yeah.
It sounds troubling. Sounds potentially troubling. There were no hugs involved.
No, I don't think there were hugs involved.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's I am not familiar with that bit. That is a swing that they took on live radio.
Do you know how quickly we'd be canceled in 2021
yeah,
for doing that?
Of course.
And that's fun.
Yeah, with willing participants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, of course. But, man, that I don't think this is the same. In fact, I'm confident. That
careful out on that limb there.
Yeah. Not the same at all. But I would like to try our 2021 version of Pat Hughes doing scenes from Sean Connery movies. Because we lost Connery, but we still have Pat Hughes. And, frankly, I think it's better. And I think that inning of Cubs baseball absolutely proved it.
See?
But then we'll get canceled for having a guy without an accent portraying a guy with an accent.
I think we'll be fine.
Why couldn't you got a guy with an accent to do it?
Because he's Pat Hughes. And it's funnier that way.
Suspenders. Expenses.
I think we can still make fun of the Scots, right? Is he Scottish, Sean Connery?
Was.
Sure. yeah. But I think that's one of the groups we're still allowed to make fun of. I believe.
That's fine.
Well, Pat Hughes proved it. Let's book him for 3 o'clock tomorrow and run this bit by him. Live on the air. What could go wrong? We answer your questions for one last thing next on The Score.
It's time for one last thing.
That is the $1.5 billion question.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's a general answer to a general question.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you
for anyone on the show.
Question.
That's probably an unsatisfying answer, but that's as candid as I can be.
I just want to ask you one question.
What do you think about verb?
It's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
Jesus.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's a silly question. That's a leading question. When I told you, if you listen.
I just want to ask you one question.
Whoever's interviewing him just baited him hard.
I just want to ask you.
Well, that's a great question.
One question.
One last thing with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Twitch him, text him. Send in your questions. We like to end the show with questions from you, members of the mob, our audience. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. You ask them. Shane reads them to us. What do we got today, Shane?
On Twitch, from Lamb1979. One last thing. Does Tanny have to play the open for anyone, or do you just trust that he gets it right? Funny you ask. Every morning, Tanny and Mitch have a Zoom call where Tanny plays Mitch, shares a screen, shows him the audio editing process and how he got to today's open. So yes, Tanny's open has to be cleared by Mitch every day.
And then Mitch kicks it up the ladder to everyone else.
Yeah.
It stops at the COO.
Yeah.
Not
Susan
the
Larkin. Not, Susan Larkin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Approves it. And it's
I
weird.
Still send it to David Field on the side.
Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah. Just, you BCC him. You yeah. BCC. And it, doesn't she have to do it for the 2 and the 5 o'clock open?
Which is the same, which is
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, it's so weird that they do it that way.
Like, they approve it for 2, but not for 5. Yeah. Sometimes they'll be like, no, that's not a go for 5.
It's power hour.
Yeah.
No, he has autonomy.
Yeah, office. No, I don't even listen to it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to.
Even when it's playing. Shane doesn't even listen to it when it's playing. Just to be safe.
From the Great Beefness on Twitch. Great name. To Parkins and Speak. Or, I'm sorry, to Parkings and Speak. So, Tandy, can you pull up Parkings on the board, please? If you could trade a Cub player before the deadline, who would it be and why?
If you could trade a Cub player before the deadline?
Yeah, I think I know what Danny's going to trade.
Yeah, man. I don't think you're going to get much for him.
No.
But
David Bodie.
Yeah, Javi Baez would be the answer.
I would trade Kimbrel. I would trade Kimbrel and go ahead and get yourself the best prospects you could possibly get. Try to do the reverse Gleyber Torres.
That would help. That would help. If you can get a lot, I mean, sure. Anybody that you can get a lot for, assuming that you're not going to be there at the deadline, I'll sign off on. Like, there's not going to be a guy that they trade that I'll be like, what? How could you possibly? There's no untradeable on this team right now. Though I think the guy I'd be most surprised by would be Hendricks, actually. Just multiple years left, reasonable control, such a problem with starting pitching, stuff that should age very well. Mm-hmm. I'd be very surprised if they traded Kyle Hendricks. I've seen a few people float that as a possibility. That would shock me.
From Audio ID Kid, Doug in Evergreen Park on Twitch. When you're making a homemade burger, are you mixing different cuts of meat? Do you have a meat grinder? I listen to sports radio for the recipes. Kenny?
Me? Yeah, I don't make I don't eat a lot of hamburgers at the house. We don't eat a lot of red meat during the week. So
wow, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Turkey burgers tonight though.
Oh, get excited.
Oh yeah.
You hate your taste buds.
Get excited.
I just, you know, love my heart though.
That's weird.
Man. Looking good by the way. Down a little weight.
He's only saying that because he overheard me say it.
Yeah, I made sure to tell him. Tanny's down 11 pounds. And we're very happy for him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm on the Peloton every day. I can't lose anything.
You lost a lot though early. Like
oh yeah, because of the depression.
Yeah,
because of the depression.
Like diet.
It didn't work for me though.
No,
like I've been depressed my whole life and it hasn't worked.
Damn, that sucks.
Try more cocaine. Add cocaine to that depression. Yeah, that's how super.
I've never done coke. I've got a bunch of friends who've done coke.
Please
I've never
don't.
Done coke.
You don't.
We don't need that.
I just recently got into the weed.
Oh yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intermediate level, or are you still a beginner?
Oh well, I rolled a fat blunt the other day.
No, sound like I don't a pro. Know how to roll sound like you've been doing it for years, man.
Yeah, no,
could have
know.
Fooled me.
I don't know how to roll them.
PH.
Just that little one, the little one hitter thing, you know, where you put the leaves in the little bowl, put the lighter underneath it.
Okay. Any other questions?
I mean, if anyone wanted to keep your kids off of marijuana, listening to that is like the most uncool way of doing it I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
That well, grass,
the leaves.
is that not what they are? Are they not?
Yeah.
You could refer to it as like flower or bud.
But yeah, I do like 50% chuck, 25% ground short rib, and then.
You smoke
it's,
that?
It's actually Chuck Swirsky.
I thought he was going back to the
burgers.
I was thinking about what he put in the one.
No, we're going back to the burgers. 50% ground chuck, 80-20 ground short rib, and then either hanger or brisket, whatever I've got.
That helps.
Wow.
Yeah. I usually just buy the Mariano's pre-made patties.
Jesus Christ.
Is that a bad move?
Just form them yourself, dude. Just buy ground beef and form the patties yourself.
It seems like it would be easier to do all the extra work.
It's much easier to just buy the ground chuck and form your own patties.
Yeah, just drive over to the chicken quarters and get what
Come
you
on,
need
man.
Over there instead.
Is it easier
bro.
To kill my own cow, too?
Well, I didn't have to kill it. That's not easy if
for,
you've got a heart.
The, for the vegan or the vegan at home, a straight-up Impossible Burger. You know, you can put some spices in it if you want.
Yeah.
Or just, you know,
you want to
like
pay
that.
$25 a pound for synthetic beef.
$5.99 for 3/4 of a pound. Not bad.
Redirect.
Texter wants to know who we betting on for the first made basket tonight. Bulls Celtics.
Vooch. Feed the big man. Especially with no Zach. So, yeah, I go Vooch on that side. And then usually I go Kemba on the Celtics side if I want to get one on each side.
Kelly Olynyk.
Oh. You going for Tanny's doctorate in NBA over there?
No. No, I just I just know the big whites. They stand out.
They do. You big Daniel Tice fan?
Is that how you say it? That's how you say it? Tice?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
News to me.
Nailed that on the first mention. Thank you very much.
Well, that's because I turn on our broadcast and sync that over my TV when I watch the Bulls.
Oh.
Which I guess I would still be able to.
Yeah, they still pronounce his name on the radio. What are you saying?
I don't know. It's like the first time I've opened the mic today, and I'm all over the place. It's the weed.
He's got a lot to say.
Does he, though? Does he have a lot to say, or is he like A-Rod? Just a lot of words don't make any sense. He's a Navy SEAL person.
He's a Navy SEAL type person.
Okay.
He's a platinum gold winner. He is a Navy SEAL type character.
Thank you to Brian Gerch running our Twitch chat. We appreciate you. Thank you to Kendall Gill. Thank you to Dane Brugler, who are on today's show. Shane Reardon is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Bulls basketball coming up just a little bit. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
All right. Thank God that's over. I got a headache. All right. So anyway, I got to be honest, Bill. That's just too much. That's over the top.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.